Into hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. I am live in Southern California. Made my run to New York and back this weekend. We'll do it again next weekend. Love doing it. Always good to talk NFL. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Also, today we are talking college football. We had SMU head coach Sonny Dykes on earlier on the program. And now we talk Memphis football. We are joined by the head coach there. He is in his fourth season with the Tigers. Led the Tigers to back-to-back American Athletic Conference West titles. They are 4-0. They are 1-0 in conference this season. They are number 23 in the coaches poll. Memphis is at Louisiana Monroe Saturday, 3:45 p.m. Eastern. Mike Norvell is their coach. He joins us. Mike, nice to have you back. How are you?
Oh, doing well, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on. You know, I can always use a little bit of that jungle karma anytime I can get it.
I appreciate you saying that, Mike. Always good to have you on this show. Thanks for making time. So Thursday night, you had a tough one. You were facing Navy, and through the first quarter and a half, they had a 27 lead on you. After that game, Coach Ken said, quote, "They looked tired on defense. We felt like we had them right in our wheelhouse," end quote. That's the point, Mike, where it seems to me a lot of teams facing Navy might crumble, but your guys didn't. What do you make of how your team was playing at that point? And then how much does it say that you were able to turn it around the way you did?
You know, I think it showcases the maturity, the training that we have and kind of embraced within our program. This is a team that anytime you go against Navy, you know that ball control is going to be a critical factor in it. You know, we had some explosive plays there in the first half. Offensively and special teams, but they did a really nice job. But I think they had 51 snaps in the first half, and our guys, they had to continue to battle. I thought we did a nice job with continuing to play, playing within ourselves, and then to see the response of our team really in all phases was something that as a coach I was really proud of. We showed mental toughness and as well as the physical toughness that's a necessity to try to beat a team like Navy.
And resiliency, and you mentioned the explosive plays, which I'll get to in a minute. It seemed like at one point in the game, Mike, fans were booing quarterback Brady White, but then he goes on to throw for three TDs in the second half. How impressed were you with the way he delivered when it mattered most and the way he kept his head?
It was critical. Brady, like I said, it was a little challenging early to get into a rhythm. We only had 15 snaps in the first half, and there were some mistakes that he had made early. We had a red zone turnover, missed a couple throws, but he truly stayed within himself and just kept playing the next snap. And we got in the second half, and I thought he responded extremely well, ended up having three touchdown passes that really helped lead us to victory. And, to see a young man, you truly live out what you try to coach him to do, I was really pleased with his performance and proud of his response.
We are talking Memphis football. Mike Norvell is the coach. He joins us. You know, as a head coach, you know there's going to be outside noise, sometimes good noise, sometimes bad noise. How do you go about helping your guys dealing with that noise, making sure it does not get to them or distract them?
Just continue to emphasize, controlling what we can control. And there's always going to be an outside perspective. And like you said, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And at the end of the day, we always have to be in control of ourselves, making sure that we go out there and play to the best of our ability. And we focus a lot on our response to all those situations. And when you're in the heat of battle, that can be challenging. There's a lot of ways that you can get distracted. But our guys, I think, have shown the maturity throughout this season, even though we're only four games into it, of being able to respond whenever adversity does strike. And that's something that you try to train 365 days a year to prepare them for. But it's good when it shows up on game day.
Right. Now, Mike, every game is critical, obviously. But you said after the game that, well, frankly, what you've been saying all week long, that it was a program-defining game. What did you see that made you say that before the game, and how would you describe the significance of that win?
Well, it has everything to do with really the opponent we're facing. I've got as much respect for the Naval Academy and their football program. Obviously, they're extremely well coached, but really not only how they play, but the type of players that are within their program you respect every aspect of what they do, and they're trained well, they're disciplined. Obviously the physicality and mindset of what they approach every day. So for our team to be in a tough situation there in the first half, for us to have to, we're down 20-7, and just to continue to fight. battle and claw to do everything in our power to put ourselves in a position to be successful. And to see us go out there and execute in the second half and to really take the game back over and to win it going away, that's what was impressive about the character of our young men and the maturity that they showed and really just you're going out there and playing at a level that I knew we were capable of, and that's why I'm so proud of them.
Mike Norvell joining us. We're talking Memphis football. Mike, what about the other side, the defense? Now, it didn't necessarily reach the level you would have liked last season, so you brought in Adam Fuller to be your defensive coordinator this year. The defense had given up or has given up less than 16 points per game. So what did you see in Fuller that got you so excited, and how pleased have you been with the results so far?
I've been extremely pleased, and Adam is, I think, one of the top minds in college football. When I got a chance to know him, going through the process when I was looking to bring in a defensive coordinator, he really checked all the boxes. He's an aggressive mindset. He's a teacher of the game. Really prides himself on the fundamental aspects. But then on the flip side of it, he's a tremendous man when it comes to building relationships. And I think that you see the experience and the depth that we have on defense. That's taking time. We've recruited at a very high level. Our guys have developed and they truly buy into what we're asking them to do. And we got a tremendous leader that puts them in the right positions to go out there and showcase their abilities. And so I've been really pleased with our guys through the first four games of the season. We know that the challenges are going to continue to get bigger as the season progresses, but I'm really excited about the opportunity that's in front of us.
Got a few more moments with Mike Norvell. Mike, you told Yahoo Sports that it's a much more mature football team than you've had before. What do you mean by that? And is that something you coach and teach, or is it something the players took upon themselves?
I think it's a little bit of both. We were extremely young last year. We only had eight seniors. Now we did lose a couple guys that declared early for the NFL draft. But it's been a process. And, our guys, they believe in the culture that's been established here within our program. And, we have an all-inclusive approach. We challenge them on the field, off the field, in the classroom, in every aspect of their lives, to prepare them for game day and to see them go out there and develop the way that they've developed, to train the way that they train, and then to be able to handle themselves when they're in the heat of the battle. That's something that I think has been trained over time, but it also goes back to the players making a commitment that's what they're going to do and how they're going to and how much they're going to believe in each other and the guys that they have lined up next to them. So I've been really pleased through four games. I think that maturity has definitely showed up, but we still have a lot in front of us.
Now, how about this? This is really interesting. I had Sonny Dykes from SMU on in the first hour. I had Willie Fritz from Tulane on the show last week. I had Rod Carey from Temple earlier in the season. I had Coach Ken. I had Josh Heupel before the season. What I'm saying is I'm talking a lot of American Athletic Conference football these days. How good is this conference, and how much tougher has it become in just the 4 years that you've been in Memphis?
I mean, I think it's incredible. And, the names that you just rattled off, tremendous respect for all those guys, and not only the football coaches they are, but the developer men that they are. I think all those programs are definitely on the rise and playing a high level of football. You sit there and you go into the non-conference season and you want to see how your conference stacks up. And I think we performed extremely well. A lot of big wins in non-conference play. And, when you turn on film and watch the student athletes that are represented in this league, I mean, it's quite impressive. And so, I'm looking forward to the continued growth of our league and with the coaches that you mentioned and what we're trying to do here in Memphis. I think the best days are in front of us.
So finally, if the conference has changed out dramatically in the last 4 years, how different are you as a head coach now than when you first took that job?
I think I've grown in all aspects. There's no manual for how to be a head coach, and you try to prepare. When I was an offensive coordinator, I tried to always look at things as if I was the head coach and what I could do to help make the program better. But when you get put in the seat and have to go and every decision matters program wide, top to bottom. It takes time, and I think I've matured as a head coach in how I've gone through the process. How you put together a staff, making sure that you're checking all the boxes that are necessary for your team to be successful. We've had 15. I've had to hire 15 coaches in the last 2 years, and that's been something that I've had to grow in. And I've been excited about the guys that we have, but we're really excited about where our program's going and the recognition it's getting. So, I think it's been growth across the board, and I'm continuing to work to get better, much as every player that we have on this team, and we're just going to continue to keep pushing.
I like that. Every decision matters, no doubt about that. He is in his fourth season with the Tigers. They're 4-0. They're coming off a huge win over Navy. They're number 23 in the coaches poll, and they've got Louisiana Monroe coming up next on Saturday. Mike Norvell, the head coach at Memphis. Mike, great to have you back. Thanks so much for that.
Thanks so much, and go Tigers.
You got it, Mike. Great having you. Mike Norvell. When you listen to him laid out like that, it's amazing, right? You move over that one seat or you take that one job. He's had to hire 15 coaches in the last 2 years. Every decision matters. Like, say this, my decision to read or not read this next email. Every decision matters. Dear Jim, Vikings fans are locked into that expensive, long-term investment with no way to get out of it. Yours? Timeshare owners. Drew in West L.A. War Ritt carrying around a cyanide pill just in case. Case of what, Drew?
It's lit!
Why would Ritt be carrying around a cyanide pill? Case of what? He runs out of Skittles? There's always more where they came from. Dear Jim, did you say the season is ending today? Hip, hip, hooray! Regards the Dolphins.
Hip, hip, hooray!
I said the season is ending today. Well, I said if the season were to end today, the Browns would be in the playoffs. I also said the season is ending today for Vontaze Burfict. Dear Jumpman, Gruden is the ultimate walking hypocrisy as a head coach. He talked about bringing in high-quality guys on and off the field. The first thing he does is get rid of the two highest-quality Raiders in Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Then he brings in Antonio Brown, Vontaze Burfict, and Richie Incognito. What a joke. Quote, Khalil didn't want to be a Raider. This guy's shtick is so tired and so played out, like his 2002 playbook. I was a Raiders season ticket holder during his first term. How this team and this coach have changed, Romy. War the Raiders missing the playoffs. War Chuckles getting the axe after this season. No loyalty for this team ever again. Signed, Gabe in Newport Beach. They're not going to fire the guy after this year. They're on the hook for 10 years and 10 mil per. He's never getting fired. Mark Davis will get fired before Gruden will. Hey, Rome. A dad that poop fast don't have break from family for long.
A dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
All right, so if I were to ask you, what kind of an idiot would send an email like that? Who would you guess? If we were to play a game of guess the imbecile, who would you guess? A dad that poop fast don't have break from family that long. So put aside for a minute that the guy who sent that is saying, man, I got to get away from the wife. I got to get away from the kids. I got to get away from the family. How do I do that? Oh, I know. I'll just hit the head. All right, so put that aside for a minute. Now let's play a game of guess the imbecile. Who do you think would send that? A dad that poop fast don't have break from family for long. If you guessed Stephen Phoenix, you'd be right. You win. Anybody else? Bills Mafia, since I shouted out to you in the days leading up to that game, since you yourselves found your way in after that win over Cincinnati to go to 3-0 and you had that big opportunity against the Patriots. I want to hear from you now because you had that opportunity. It was right there. It was right there. You did not get blown out. Not only were you not blown out, your defense showed up in a huge way and had a chance. You were driving late. It was right there. I have to know. how you feeling right now? And I don't mean that in a how you living right now. I mean, really, how you feeling right now? Did the Hood go in there with his fist and reach into your chest and rip your heart out? Or are you feeling pretty good about things? They're still a playoff team now. I could even argue the Lions, after their loss to KC, might be a playoff team this year. This email reads, Khalil Mack didn't want to poop here, man.
Khalil Mack didn't want to play here.
Play here. All right, so if you're wondering how this got so sophomoric and so juvenile, it's not me. In fact, it's not even the clones that started this. It was Khalil Mack coming off another dominant performance, and when asked about it, had this to say.
Dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
I'm not really sure what that means. But I can tell you this, playing the way he's playing right now, dominating the way he's dominating right now, and when you consider what he's about to do to the Raiders and Gruden, this guy can say whatever the hell he wants, including that.
Dog that poop fast don't poop for long, man.
And that's why I'm getting emails like, quote, Khalil Mack didn't want to poop here, man.
Khalil
the thing
Mack
is, he
didn't
did.
Want to play here.
He did. And he was. And it was great. This guy never asked for anything from the Raiders out of the ordinary. Never asked for anything unreasonable. Never asked for anything other than fair market value. Fair market value for arguably the most dominant player in the NFL defensively. Not named Aaron Donald. And maybe even including Aaron Donald. And again, what the hell happened to the Ram defense? I mean, in a quarter of weird things halfway or a quarter of the way through the NFL season, I've seen some peculiar things. Nothing nearly as weird as Tampa Bay flying across the country and coming here and dropping 55 on the Rams in that defense. That is really weird. Really unusual. When we return, you have your chance. Give me a call right now, 1-800-636-8686. So the Cubs fire Joe Maddon. And the Angels fire Brad Ausmus after 1 year? I can't imagine that's a quinky-dink, can you? I like those analytics. Hold up, Albie. I like the analytics. You ever watch games now and then check the analytics like probability of victory? Like Patriots up on the Bills, 1 minute left, 99.92% probability of victory. You ever see those stats? The Angels hiring Joe Maddon after firing Brad Ausmus after 1 year. Here's the Rome probability of Maddon getting that job with the Angels. 100% probability. Take that to the bank. All right, we will come right back. Bills Mafia, where are you? Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love money? Then you better get with the program and get on down to Hooters to catch that game and play Monday Night Moneyball every single week. You're just a few questions away from a chance at making some money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It is so easy to play, and it works like making prop picks. So who's going to win? It might be you, but not if you don't get down there, not if you don't play. It could not get any easier, and it's free. Free to play. You love wings. You love ice cold beer. And who does not love the world famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix on. And now you can get in on the action if you've got game. Head on down to Hooters. Watch all the games, eat, drink, and play for all the marbles. With Hooters, Monday Night Moneyball, happening only at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register now. Then head to Hooters for every single game all season long.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey now, you know what you want to do? You want to come into Hooters. And you want to do it every Monday, all season long. And the reason you want to do that is because you want to play Monday Night Moneyball. And the reason you want to play Monday Night Moneyball is because you are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes in Hooters freebies and a new chance to win every week in Hooters girls to make every game more fun. And you can play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyBall.com. Just like that. All right, so this guy answered my question. I said, Bills Mafia, how you feeling? How are you feeling? Dear Jumpman, we're feeling all right. The defense shut down Brady and the boys. No rubber dongas were thrown on the field. We were stuffed on the one-yard line to take the lead. We're on to Tennessee. Brock in Buffalo. Unwore Rex Ryan's foot fetish. I'm okay with that. That's real. Missed opportunity. It was right there for you. You could have beaten those guys. And man, the world would have been knocked off its axis. Can you imagine the Bills at 4-0 after a win over the Patriots? And it could have happened too. But you're all right. 3-1. If somebody had said, I hate to play that game, but if somebody had said before the season that you'd be 3-1 and you'd go toe-to-toe and you'd stand in with the Pats and they'd get the hell out of town, happy to survive in advance, would you have taken that? Yes, you would. Hell yes. The Bills look like a playoff team. And then you got people like this doing things like this. This email is directed to the Bills Mafia. Dear Bills Mafia, back to the freaking shallow end weaklings. My God. Your team had every chance to take a victory from the Patriots yesterday, and your coach and quarterbacks literally threw that one away. Sean McDermott took every opportunity to blame everyone else for that loss after the game. That he did a pretty fine job of deflecting the fact that he used all three timeouts and blew both challenges in the second half before the end of the game. Then proceeded to throw the ball when the run game was working very effectively. Then decided to go for it on fourth and goal instead of making it a three-point game to make that final drive a little easier to accomplish with a field goal. Then to top everything off, your franchise quarterback decides to run and dive headfirst for an extra yard only to find himself counting his teeth on the turf. How's that for redemption, Rick? Matt in Poland Springs. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I thought that Rick in Buffalo, when he called, said he didn't care if they won or they lost. I think he said he just wanted to fight people or something like that. They were right there, right there. And all of a sudden, now the Patriots, I would never say that they miss Antonio Brown, but maybe there's something to why Tom Brady has defended Antonio Brown, and even after they cut him, seemed to be defending Antonio Brown, or somehow sympathetic to his plight. I'm not saying they need this guy, and I hate to even say they're better with him, but they'd be better with him. They did the right thing in cutting him. They shouldn't have brought him in. But you kind of, when you see the offense stall the way it did, and when you see Brady have the kind of game that he did, you could see where Brady is defending Antonio Brown. You could see where Brady actually invited that guy to live with him in his house. Maybe Brady knew, because it was the defense that won that game. It was the special teams that won that game. The offense had nothing to do with it. Now we know. Now we know why Brady wanted Antonio Brown. And, you know, Josh Allen, he's got to learn. We know this. He's got to learn to get down. Are you going to blame him for fighting for extra yardage and taking that shot to his head? Again, turn that thing on its head. Micah Hyde said this, and he's right. If any Bill did that to Tom Brady, that Bill would have been ejected before Brady's head bounced off the turf.
That's the first thing that came out of my mouth on the sideline. If one of us did that to 12, we wouldn't have been in the game anymore. There's no way we would have continued to play in that game.
He's right. 100%. 100%. He's right. There's no way a Bill could have done that. But the Pats got away with it. All right, we will come right back. One last segment. Not done yet, but I still want to get to. The Cubs fire Joe Maddon. And Theo Epstein said, oh, that's a win-win. That's awesome. A win-win. Remember when they won that championship and the talk was, man, now that they snapped that curse, the way this thing is set up, their farm system, their talent, their management, their manager, it's just a question of how many of these things are they going to win. Remember that whole thing? Well, they just fired their manager. And the answer is one. That's how many. Theo, that's not a win-win. What? Where is the win in that?
Win.
You lost nine straight in September and got knocked out of the playoffs. Where is the win, much less the double win in that?
Win!
Yeah, I don't see that. Also, some thoughts on the Dolphins. We know what's going on there. But even though we know what's going on there, it's pretty exceptional. Let's get to a sports update. Here you go. Jay Berman, he's got this one.
Yummy!
ATP. That stands for Ask the Pros. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And you want to remember to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. 1-800-636-86. That's Adam Hawk in the house. Okay, ATP. This is from Al in Albany. Jimmy, given how often you're back in New York City, would you ever give consideration to living there? It's an electric city like no other, but the weather is about to take a turn for the worse. There's something you never get in SoCal, but you don't need a car in New York. That's a trade-off. Your thoughts? Thanks, Alan Albany. Great question. All right, so quickly. First of all, the weather there this past weekend, the weather in New York was better there than it was here. The weather in New York this past weekend was amazing. It was incredible. But you said it's about to change, and I know that. You know, I've had seasons where I've done the NFL and CBS where there have been some really tough, tough winners, and then some winners that were not that bad, at least for the way I went in. So I'm not saying that it wouldn't be tough. It's an amazing, amazing city. At this point in my life, notice what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say at this point in my life I wouldn't do that. Like when I was younger, I'm not saying that at all. I'm going where the work is. All right, so let's look at this for a minute. I'm on the NFL on CBS, on the CBS network, 8 times a year by contract. This year, I'm going to make 7 appearances. Because I did an interview with Chris Beard of Texas Tech, and I'm going to be on another show. So 7 times I'm going to be on the NFL on CBS, and in those appearances, Drew Kalisky does a really good job of carving out some real estate for me. But if you've seen those appearances, I'm on for a few minutes, and I love it. I'll take it, and I love it. I'll take whatever I can get. However, I'm on every day in California for 3 hours. So I can't move to New York for 4-minute hits when I have 3-hour hits every day in Southern California, where I was born and raised and where my remaining son who lives at home goes to school. So that's the answer. Now, you're right. I would not need a car in New York. That would be nice. But also we have 75 degree weather like 315 times a year in Cali. The answer is never say never. I would not say I would never live in New York, but I have never had to live outside of California, which is pretty amazing. In my line of work, the fact that I've only lived in Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, San Diego, in Orange County is miraculous. Now, if my friends at CBS or otherwise come to me and say, Hey, Smackman, we have this opportunity, and it's in New York. It's not in California. Here's your opportunity. I would say never, but my best opportunities are still in California. I love New York, even if I'm only there 18 hours at a time. But I will be there for the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in November. for an entire weekend, no less. Al in Albany. Yo, bro, make a deal. If I move to New York, Al, I will come to Albany and we'll have a pop. I never get to enjoy New York like that because I'm only there for 18 hours. And you know my drill. I get in. I get into my hotel. I get room service. I nap it out. I get up. I iron my shirt. I roll into the NFL and CBS. I knock that out. I get back on the plane. Oh, and in and above all that, in the 2 days of that weekend, I'm able to undo 2 weeks of hard work of diet and exercise. I haven't figured that part out yet after all these years. There is your ATP. Appreciate that. All right, so finally some good news involving the Miami Dolphins 4 weeks into their disastrous year. Yesterday they played, without a doubt, their best football game of the year on both sides of the ball. The defense allowed a season low in points allowed. The offense, I mean, literally went off to tie their week one high against the Ravens. So they played their most complete game of the year. Hey, credit where credit's due. To quote Phil Jackson, give them some bleeping credit, man. They played their most complete game of the year. That's the good news. The bad news is they played their most complete game of the year and they still lost by 20 at home to the Chargers. Their best game of the year was still a 20-point loss where they only scored 10. And it's the team's fourth straight loss by 20 or more to open up the season. Listen, piling on the Dolphins is not good sport. It's not fun. It's not hard. It's like walking into a game of kindergarten dodgeball as an adult and styling a bunch of laser shots off the domes of five-year-old kids. It's bad form. It's easy. Especially when everybody knows what's going on here. Everybody knows the Dolphins were built to suck and suck hard. But that doesn't mean that they're not still something that we can't all stop and marvel at. Because I'm not even sure the Dolphins themselves intended to be this damn good at being this damn bad. And if the plan were to bottom out, there's no team in football doing a better job at executing the plan week in and week out than the Dolphins. If, in fact, that was their plan, and it is. Like, let me give you some numbers. The Fins have been outscored 163-26. That's amazing and awesome. 163-26. Even if you want to suck, even if that is your plan, there's no way they planned to be that good at being that bad. 163-26? Hey, you tell me what's a better number. Allowing on average 41 points per game or scoring only 6.5? Let me give you another metric, another number to bounce off of you. The Chiefs' worst offensive output, the Chiefs' worst game offensively was a 28-10 win over the Raiders in week two. Their worst game of the year was still 2 points better than the entire season total for the Dolphins right now. Their worst game was 2 points better than what the Dolphins have scored all season. It's taken the Dolphins an entire month to score 2 points less than the Chiefs' worst game. Take a freaking bow, Miami. Right now, the point differential on the season for the Dolphins is a minus 137. Minus 137. There's not a single team in the league who has scored as many points as the Dolphins have been outscored by. And the second worst differential belongs to the Redskins, who are 85 points less embarrassing than the Dolphins in the column. Speaking of the Redskins, they're next up for the Dolphins in 2 weeks after Miami's bye. And let me save you the super lame, super easy joke about the Dolphins losing the bye. I'll tell you this, though. The FPI ranks the Redskins as the second worst team in the NFL, and they're still a touchdown favorite to beat the Dolphins on the road in Miami. Think about that for a minute. They're the second worst team in the NFL, and they're favored by a touchdown on the road. That's how bad Miami is. So running the table in reverse has been done before, twice. But again, we're talking about a great possibility that it could happen again if Miami loses to Washington next out. Because that will be, obviously, their last legitimate chance to get a win, and they probably won't. Probably. So if you're going to do something that's already been done before, you may as well be the very best at it. If you can't be first, then be best. 2016, the 0-16 Browns were minus 176 in point differential. The 08, 0-16 Lions were minus 249. The 2019 Dolphins are on pace to be a minus 551. 551. Nobody likes on pace guy unless on pace guy is talking about a team that's on pace to be minus 551. Then it's okay to be on pace guy because everybody loves excellence, even excellence in being terrible. So no, I am not here to kill the Dolphins. That's too easy. There's no sport in that. I am here to commend them for being otherworldly good at tanking. Nobody thought they'd be this damn good at being this damn bad. Keep it up, fellas. Shatter the record books. Put that number on the wall and look at it every single day when you come to work. Minus 551. Their point differential in defeat is more than any team has scored on the season combined. That is not easy to do. Keep on, fellas. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're not doing. And you know what's weird, man? They play kind of hard for a team that's trying to tank. They actually try. And for the record, let me say this. Washington could lose that game. They're horrible. They could lose that game. Got time for a phone call. Let's go to Detroit. Josh in Detroit, because I have time for a phone call. Hey, Josh, why don't you just take your time and do what you do? What's up?
You know, Jim, the best part of listening to the show or contributing to it is meeting up with clones and going to a game. Yesterday, I was with Brian in Bugaha. The guy was dressed up in all red and had his Mahomes gamer halfway in the game room. I looked over at him, and he was sweating out that Coors Light that he was drinking. I thought he was in a sauna. You know what? The Lions played pretty darn good against a potential Super Bowl.
I disagree, Josh. You know what the best part of this show is? It being over and running you. Coming to Hooters every Monday all season and play Monday Night Moneyball. You are just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash in Hooters freebies. A new chance to win every week, and Hooters girls to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. My thanks to Ross Tucker, Sonny Dykes, Mike Norvell, the XR4TI crew. Have a great day. Appreciate y'all listening. See you tomorrow. We're right back here then. We are out.